إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the series on the fact that Islam is the name of a relationship. And I mentioned to you the part of the relationship that relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, who is our Khaliq and Malik and Hakim and Raziq, and who is the Rabbul Alameen. He is the creator, the sustainer, the owner, and the lawgiver. And he is the Rabb. He is the one who, through his mercy and through his love, improves us and takes us from a stage of incompleteness to a stage of completeness and perfection, inshallah. We come to the second part of the relationship, which is the relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Both of these relationships relate back to the kalimat tayyiba, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, with which we enter Islam. It is by these two statements which we believe in our hearts and which we declare with our tongues and on which we try to live our lives and by which we try to live our lives. It is on these two statements which are statements of this relationship. These are the declarations of a relationship with Allah and a relationship with His last and final messenger and Rasul and Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. So we saw what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. We see now, let us see what is the meaning of Muhammadur Rasulullah. When we say that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah and that he is the last and final messenger, what is the relationship statement in that? What is the statement relating to our connection with him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This connection also, like the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a connection that does not end with death. It is a connection that continues after death, in our qubur, in our graves, and on the day of judgment, when we will be gathered before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshaAllah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to maintain this connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the way into Jannatul Firdaus ul Aala bi ghairi hisab, inshaAllah. What is this connection? The connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a connection of obedience, of complete and total obedience, sama'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. The connection with Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a connection that relates to how we should obey. This is the importance and the definition of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The connection with Allah has to do with obedience itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen, so we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we follow his sunnah, meaning how do we obey? To give you an example, we prayed Salatul Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimus Salah. So we prayed, we established the salah. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to accept it. But how do you do salah? What is the way of salah? How is it that the Salatul Fajr should be prayed? What time should it be prayed? What is the method of praying this salah? And so on and so on. What should be recited? What are the body positions? What should be recited in which position? And so on. How does the salah begin? How does it continue? How does it end? All of this comes from Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," the famous hadith about the young people who came and spent the time with him and he advised them. So therefore, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is ubudiyat, and the method of that ubudiyat, the method of that obedience is the sunnah. So the Sunda, this is the reason I'm explaining this is because there is a big figment of the imagination of people today who believe that the Sunda is some voluntary thing. If you do it, it's nice. If you don't do it, it's okay. It's left to us, you know, treat it as you want. This is a complete, this is total nonsense. I mean, this is absolutely a huge mistake in understanding the basic fundamental principles of Islam. Absolutely fundamental. We haven't even gone beyond the kalima. This is the absolute fundamental principle of Islam, to understand the importance of the sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not simply send a message, a religion, like a theory or a philosophy that it's nice to know, you know, let us read it, have some knowledge of this philosophy, and that is it. Allah did not send a philosophy. Allah did not send a theology. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a complete Nizamul Amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a complete way of life. Islam is not a madhab. Islam is a deen. So it's the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a complete way of life, and therefore the way of life, how it is to be lived, to be demonstrated physically in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah did not just send an order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent somebody to fulfill this order, to live that life, and to set an example until the last day, to say two things. One, that this life, according to this example, is possible to live. And second one is how it is to be lived. To establish this hujjat, to establish this evidence that to live this life according to Islam is possible. So that nobody can come tomorrow and say that all of these are good principles and so on and so forth. We don't deny that. But it's really impossible to apply. You know, you cannot live like this. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a human being. And he said, "Qul ana basharum mithlukum." Say, "I am a human being like you." So in terms of humanity, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being. He lived and he died. And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a person who was, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Laqad manallaha ala al-mu'minina idh ba'asa fihim rasulam min anfusihim." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah has blessed the mu'mineen by sending to them and raising among them a rasul from among them, who was like them. So like them does not mean that we are equal to him or he is equal to us. He cannot be equal to anyone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his position. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what it is. But as far as we are concerned, we say that his position is over and above the position of any creature that Allah has created, not only human beings. So that's a different issue. But the point is that in terms of his humanity, jinsiya, in terms of who was he an angel? Or was he a malak? Or was he a human being? He was a human being. And the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent that was because tomorrow people cannot say that, "Oh, but you see, the Prophet was an angel and therefore he could do things which we cannot do because we are not angels." And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established this. The importance of the sunnah is absolutely critical, because that is the importance of actually applying this deen. This deen came to be applied. As I've given the example of salah, yes, we accept that we should pray, but how should we pray? We learn this from the sunnah. Similarly, we accept that we should pay zakat. How much zakat is to be paid? What is zakat payable on? What is zakat not payable on? And so on. We learn from the sunnah. Yes, we should fast. We accept this. But what is fasting? How is it to be done? What breaks the fast? What does not break the fast? All of this we learn from the sunnah. Yes, we know we should do hajj and we accept this. But what is hajj? What are the arkan of hajj? What must we do on which day? And so on and so forth. All of this is from the sunnah. So if it's very easy to see that if somebody decides to ignore the sunnah, if somebody says, "I do not need Muhammad, na'udhu billah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," somebody says, "I do not need the sunnah," if somebody says, "I do not need the teachings, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," then effectively that person cannot possibly practice Islam. Because if that person has integrity and he is saying this with integrity, then he cannot pray, because he has to reject the sunnah. So if he is rejecting the sunnah, he cannot do salah. If he does not do salah, what happens to him? Same thing with zakat, same thing. So even the reason I'm giving these examples of the arkan of Islam, the pillars of Islam, is because even in the pillars of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately made Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the foundation on which these pillars have to stand. This is to emphasize the importance of his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So tomorrow nobody can come and ignore Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to try to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. There is no way to Allah without going through Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this sunnah. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the importance of the sunnah many times in the Quran and expressed this importance in completely unequivocal and completely unmistakable terms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for example, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهِ. The one who has obeyed the Nabi has obeyed Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا. The one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only that person is successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, these people who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say to them, make my ittiba, emulate me, imitate me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, what does he do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives your sins, and Allah is the one who is most forgiving and most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah said, the best example for you to follow is the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you follow his example, this example, to follow his example is for whom? Those who look forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the day of judgment, and who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. As I have mentioned many times before, talking about the day of judgment as something that you look forward to refers to people who expect the best thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because nobody looks forward to a meeting in which you are going to be punished. You look forward to a meeting in which you will be rewarded, and we ask Allah to make us among those who will be rewarded and who will be protected from the horrors of the Day of Judgment. So all of this relates to the importance of the Sunnah. And this importance of the Sunnah, therefore, when we say Muhammadur Rasulullah as a part of the Kalima to enter Islam, what we are saying is that we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning we follow his sunnah. What else is there otherwise? Follow means what? So follow means to follow his sunnah. So therefore, it is important for us to look into our own lives and say, what are the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I am following, and what am I not following? And whatever I am not following, it is important for me to follow them. This relates to the understanding in Islam, in the Sharia, for everything we have a final criterion of understanding, including linguistics, including the meaning of the words of the Quran, for example. And that final characteristic is to say, how did the Sahaba understand this? Including linguistics, so in Arabic, the meaning of Arabic words, we say, how did the Sahaba understand this word? What was their interpretation? So let us see, how did the Sahaba understand the issue of following the Sunnah? Did they separate the Sunnah into important ones and unimportant ones, na'udzubillah, like we seem to do? So we follow what we like, and we leave what we don't like, and we say, well, this is important, the other one is not important. Did they do that? Or did the Sahaba follow the Sunnah completely and totally? Whatever they knew of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they implemented in their lives. Which one? These are all dumb questions. We should know the answers to this. So the point is, and the reason for that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to establish a complete way of life in accordance with the way of life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who came to demonstrate that way of life. And that cannot be done unless we follow the sunnah completely. Otherwise you will have, how will you have, you do half the thing and you don't do half the thing, then you have not established Islam. So one is that some of the sunnah, some of parts of the sunnah, maybe we are unable to do because we are ignorant or because we are weak or it is not possible and so on. That's a different issue. We ask for Allah's forgiveness. But the other one is to deliberately break a sunnah, deliberately go against a sunnah. This is a, I mean, what am I supposed to say? I mean, I think everyone is intelligent enough to understand what that means. And I leave it to you and to your conscience and to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. May Allah have mercy on those who deliberately go against the sunnah and expect the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows how this is going to happen because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised His mercy for those who follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So somebody who goes directly against the sunnah, this is from Wallahu alam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what to do. So therefore we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to follow the sunnah of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam completely and totally in this life, because as I said, this is also the relationship that is that one of the two relationships, the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which continues after our death. This is the relationship on the basis of which we will be called and separated and selected and distinguished and differentiated on the day of judgment from all the other people who are gathered there as the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the basis on which we will meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at his house. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that we get the water of Al-Kawthar from the blessed hand of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the basis on which we will be called to him to take this water from his hand, which is as his ummatis. This is the basis on which we will be gathered inshaAllah behind him to cross the Sirat and into Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, but for this we have to make some effort. And that effort is to establish the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives and to follow this sunnah to the best of our abilities. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that, to be pleased with our efforts, to help our efforts and to establish us on this Siratul Mustaqim, which is the way and Sirat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah we will complete this tomorrow. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.